I want this morning and also this evening, and God willing, I'm here next month as well, to do a little mini-series again. I like doing my little mini-series on the character of Samson. So that was kind of why I read the words in Numbers. But I want to refer to the book of Judges and chapter 13. So we had the book of Numbers, then Deuteronomy, then Joshua, then Judges. And there are conveniently four chapters about Samson. So Judges 13, 14, 15 and 16. So that's quite convenient for four services. So Judges chapter 13 is where we concentrate our thoughts this morning. Now the book of Judges was written to show the consequences of religious unfaithfulness and to point the way to a king who, if righteous, would lead the people to God. In the book of Joshua, the people of Israel seemed to want to follow the Lord and obey his commands. But not so after Joshua's death. And we read at the end of Judges, and how appropriate are these words for here and now. Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's so true today, isn't it, of life. And people doing, listening on the way over to a sermon, and it was speaking of accuse and excuse. Like, if something happens, then we accuse others. It's your fault, or we excuse ourselves. Well, it wasn't our fault. So we excuse ourselves and accuse others. And that's very much perhaps the sentiment today, isn't it, in life. But, of course, the scriptures are very relevant, aren't they? Now, the whole of God's word is so relevant, isn't it, for today? And those first 11 chapters of Genesis, you know, there we have the origins of everything. And if we dismantle that, then what are we left with? You know, those early chapters of Genesis, where we have creation, so we have 7 days in the week. We have clothing and languages and seasons and variations in temperature and obviously sin and illness and marriage. And all these things can be traced back to those early chapters of Genesis, to the creation and then the fall of man. But also, of course, there we have the gospel, don't we, in those early chapters of, well, introduction to the gospel. But looking at the judges, in chronological order, the judges are Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah stroke Barak, Gideon, Tola, Jair, Jephthah, Ibsan, Elon, Abdon, and Samson. There were two other judges, Eli and Samuel, whose judgeships are described in 1 Samuel. But I want to look at Samson. who really is a bit of a maverick, isn't he? A one-off with Samson. You could say he wasn't a team player, but if you think of a football team, you think of somebody who's a bit of a maverick. They are a great player. You can't leave them out. They are a superb player, but you can't tell them what to do. They do their own thing, and in training or something, they do their own thing. But perhaps they will score great goals, and so you can't leave them out of the team. They might have a bit of a temper. They might get sent off quite often, but assuming that they're behaving themselves and on top form, say, you can't leave this person out of the team. And whenever teams see that he's playing, so, you know, it really strikes them with fear that this person is playing. So Samson, as we see, well, used of God, but certainly not perfect. And maybe a sort of a quirky title for Samson is the He-Man with the She-Weakness. The He-Man with the She-Weakness. But he's not alone, is he, of those in God's Word who weren't perfect. Well, of course, Peter denied the Lord. And David, man after God's own heart, was guilty of adultery and murder. God uses people, his people, despite our faults, and we have faults. In 1 Corinthians 12, we read there of the diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. It speaks there of different gifts. And we all have gifts, don't we? And we shouldn't say, as it says in those words in 1 Corinthians 12, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Or because, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. So, we all have gifts, don't we? The Lord has given us gifts. And different gifts, and they're all needed, aren't they, in our lives. And in our church life, and in the lives that we conduct. We haven't all got the same gift. That wouldn't be good if we were all good at the same thing, and then nobody was any good at that. No, we give thanks for the many gifts that we have. And we shouldn't despise other gifts or say, well, that's not really a gift because it's not sort of seen much. Well, this is a gift because it's obvious to others. No, we should use our gifts. We shouldn't bury them in the sand, should we? We should use our gifts that God has given us for his glory. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it had pleased him. So what God has given to us, yes, he's given to us that we would use it for his glory. I've given you this gift because I want you to use it for the glory of God. And then let's look at Judges chapter 13. And I'll sort of read it through, and I'll just make a few comments as we read through this chapter, Judges chapter 13. And I'll begin with the first three verses. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. The town of Zorah, there mentioned, is about 14 miles west of Jerusalem, and it was in the land of the tribe of Dan. We see, don't we, in scripture of women who are barren. And we think of Sarah in Genesis 18 and verse 9. They said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold in the tent. His visitors who came. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? There was disbelief really on her part. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And that's good to think of. To just think of those words. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Sometimes we think situation seems to be impossible, but nothing is impossible where the Lord is concerned. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And then we have Hannah, don't we, in 1 Samuel 1. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, thou wilt give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. We read that in 1 Samuel chapter 1. So we read of remarkable births of those who are barren, of those in old age. And of course, we think of our Lord Jesus himself, born of the Virgin Mary. Now in verse 4, so I'm just making one or two little scattered comments. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, like we had there with Hannah. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us. and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Perhaps it was sort of a kind of speechless, didn't sort of ask who he was, where he came from, kind of like speechless in the light of this news given about the birth of this child to one who was barren. And that's why I sort of read those words, I won't read them again, in Numbers 6 of the rules of the Nazarite. So it's quite comprehensive list. There we have in those words that I read, I won't obviously read them again as I've read them already. Now, there was nothing particularly unusual about someone taking the vow of a Nazarite for a specific period of time. What was unusual in Samson's case was that he was to live under the vow from his birth, and that his vow was intended to be a lifetime vow, not just for a short period. And verse 9 says, "And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. The angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran, and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, a man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day." He's come back again. "Manoah arose and went after his wife, came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. Although I commanded her, let her observe. So there were sort of rules for her, as well as would be for Samson. But how shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? Or, as it's elsewhere interpreted, what will be the boy's rule of life and his work? Now, God honored Manoah's request for confirmation, but he did not answer the request to know the future. He simply called Manoah and his wife to obey what God already told them to do. And that's true. We don't know the future, do we? We think of ourselves, we don't know the future. If we are the Lord's, we know that where we will be eternally with the Lord, so we kind of know the future in that respect. But in terms of this life, I mean, we don't know. We expect to do this and that later today, or tomorrow, or next week, or even next year. But we can't be sure, can we? We can't be sure. You know, things can suddenly happen to change our plans. It says, doesn't it, in James about doing this and that, and adding the proviso, if the Lord wills. And that's important, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with making plans, and it's a sensible thing, isn't it, to make plans. But we make them if the Lord wills. You know, Anne and I are hoping perhaps if the Lord wills to move into a bungalow. And, well, as the Lord wills, I mean, with all these things, it's all always a bit. You think that something's going to happen, and then someone pulls out, and then it all changes. But whatever we do, let's remember, if the Lord wills, let's say it's right, sensible to make plans, but if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. But Ephesians 6:4 says, "Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That's a lovely thing, isn't it? For children to be brought up in the fear of the Lord, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I thank God that that was the case with me. And it's lovely, isn't it, when children are brought up in that way. And we have young children with us today. Lovely to be brought up, isn't it, in the fear of the Lord and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Of course, we know that grace doesn't run in families, and I'm sure that we all have family members who aren't saved. I mean, I've got quite a few in my family who aren't saved. They're not necessarily anti, but they're not Bible-believing, church-going people born again. And I'm sure that we pray for them, and perhaps it's hard, isn't it? It's hard sometimes to witness to your family. Perhaps they're the hardest people to speak to. Are your family, those closest to you. But even if we struggle to speak to them, let's speak to the Lord about them. And say God is sovereign, and God, as I say, all things are possible with God, and He can do a mighty work and change the hardest heart and soften the hardest heart. And then verse 15 of this chapter, Judges chapter 13, verse 15. "And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honour? The angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. The angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. And Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Where it says, I will not eat your food in what I've sort of just read. I will not eat your food, but if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord. Here the angel of the Lord showed himself to be God, in the sense that he did not need a meal, but would accept a sacrificial offering intended to honour the Lord. And then we have that verse that I read about my name being secret, being secret. And I think another translation calls it wonderful. Why do you ask my name, seeing it is secret? Or, as some translations say, it is wonderful. And here the angel of the Lord shows himself to be the Lord Jesus. Because that's the name, isn't it, of the Lord Jesus that we read of in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. His name is Wonderful Counselor, and so on. And those are words that we particularly hear, don't we, around Christmas time. So his name is Wonderful. And Jesus is wonderful. You know, we think of the word wonderful. You know, you see a scene or something tremendous happens. That was wonderful. You know, it was above just being good. It was fantastic. It was wonderful. And may it be to us that the Lord Jesus is wonderful. Everything about the Lord Jesus is surely wonderful. The fact that we were chosen even before the foundation of the world. I'm thinking of the Lord Jesus coming into this world to save his people from their sins, and all the prophecies. How wonderful that they were all fulfilled in time. And then we think of, well, the sufferings of the Lord. We wouldn't describe it as wonderful, but it was certainly beyond anything really that we can imagine, the sufferings that the Lord went through. And then, of course, after his death, the wonderful resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So on the third day, came to the tomb. Who's going to roll the stone back? It's already been rolled back. And it's an empty tomb. He's not here. He is risen. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And in the troubles of life, and we all have troubles of life, and isn't it good to be, well, God is good. You know, God is working his purposes out. God is allowing this for good. As we sung, God does work in a mysterious way, and sometimes we wonder how is this going to be any good? How is this working for my good or for the good of others? But then at the end we say, yes, God is wonderful in all his ways, and he's working his purposes out, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He knows the end from the beginning. So he knows, you know, all that's going to happen for the rest of our lives. As I say, we don't. We just expect things or hope things will happen. But the Lord knows the way that we should take. And he knows every aspect of our lives. We read, if the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering. So, I've seen God. And others have said, well, you know, how can I live having seen God? But this was a perceptive response, wasn't it, from Manoah's wife. She understood that God had not done so much for them to abandon them now. God's past work in our lives is a promise of his future care and blessing for us. And that's good, isn't it, to look back at our lives and say, God provided for me then, he protected me then, he helped me then, he's the same God, he'll do it now, he'll do it in the future. He doesn't change, he's not going to abandon me now. Those words were to Joshua, you know, after Moses had died, Joshua's faced with all these, there's probably a couple of million people leading them into the promised land. What a task for him. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Because our God is an unchanging God. And can we look back at our lives? And often I've said, you know, look back and say, yeah, God provided then, God helped me then, God protected me then, he's the same God, so he'll do it again. Circumstances might be a bit different, and I'm older now, and certain things are different, but God doesn't change. God's the same God. His love for his people is an everlasting love. And so may it be that the provisions and what God has done in our lives just encourage us for now and for the future in all that lies before us, whatever that might be. We read in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. May we be rich. I'm not talking about rich in money or whatever, or having fast cars or mansion. Well, we've got a mansion in glory, haven't we? No need to worry about mansions here. But may we know riches in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're rich in faith, that we're rich because of we know the Lord. And the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. We have sorrows, don't we, in life, and trials and anxieties. But the Lord knows, doesn't he? And he said, don't worry. He said, you don't need to worry. But may we be helped to trust him at all times. And finally, verse 25, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtel. So the Spirit of God, really, that was key, wasn't it? Was with Samson. And may we know the Spirit of God with us and in us. God's Holy Spirit. So this is the source of the great strength we see in Samson later. And we see very in this character, we see very much the Spirit of God at work, despite all his faults. Samson is often imagined as a man with huge, rippling muscles. That's what I said about the He-Man at the beginning. But others couldn't understand why he was so strong. It is reasonable to think that he did not look very strong. Whether he looked strong or not, doesn't really matter. His strength was the Spirit of God. That's made him strong. And we can say, can't we? We have the Holy Spirit. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. all things that God would have us do, He will strengthen us to do by His Holy Spirit. So may we know the Lord Jesus, and may we know that His Spirit is in us, and it's the Holy Spirit. And so may there be holiness in our lives as well. May there be evidence that we are the Lord's by the holiness of our lives. Not we were perfect, but Samson wasn't, as we'll see. He certainly was far from perfect. But it's wonderful, isn't it, that God uses ordinary people with all our faults. It's not about us, it's about God and the glory to His name. But may we know the Spirit of the Lord moving us and helping us and residing in us and helping us. So just a few thoughts. We're continuing, God willing, this evening with chapter 14 of Judges, and get more into Samson. Then it's look much at Samson this morning, but then we're seeing more of Samson later on. But we'll leave those few thoughts there for now. Amen.